I'm Rahul Lewis. I'm an entertainment journalist. I call myself a recovering lawyer. I don't know if any of you have seen any of my social channels. You would have seen some of these pictures. Let's see. Oh, well, look, that's me with Vince Vaughn and me with Dwayne The Rock Johnson, who, by the way, was sexiest man alive this year, just in case you didn't know that. And that's me with Greg Louganis, the guy who hit his head on the board when he was diving. Remember all that? And then there's Oprah. I have a picture with Oprah. So, did that make you feel better about yourselves? Did it make you feel worse? Or did it really do nothing at all? Well, I have about 1,600 and something friends on Facebook. They climb up so quickly, the numbers just keep getting bigger and bigger. And in 2014, I lost my job. And suddenly my phone, I really thought it was broken. Turns out it just stopped ringing because I wasn't doing that fancy job anymore. So I got sad. I'm sure some of you here have lost a job. That's sad. Anyway, I turned to my therapist and I said, it's just a job. Why am I so sad? And she said, well, how many friends do you have? And I was like, you have no idea. I have about 1,600 friends and I have a picture with Oprah. So, and she said, okay, well, if you have an emergency, who would you call? I said, well, duh, my mom. She goes, okay. Who else? And I sat there, and I sat there, and I realized, forget about an emergency. I have 1,600 friends on Facebook, but if I had to go to the airport, I don't think I have one person to call. So, began my journey about real friends versus social media friends. But before I talk a little bit more about social media, I want to talk about the kind of people we are. We are social people, and we socially compare. So when we're kids, what did we do? I have a son. He has soccer. He has basketball. We have play dates. I mean, we're working on martial arts. I'm hoping one day he'll become my bodyguard. This is the best part of motherhood. So that's who we are when we're little. And that should not change, and it doesn't change. We socially compare. You may think you don't socially compare, but when you were in school, they told you, well, according to this bell curve, whatever mark you get will make you an A or a B or a C. And then you get a little bit older and they say, well, if you want to figure out if your weight is right, look at this national average and you'll figure out if you're too fat or you're too thin. And when you're pregnant, that national average is really annoying. So we socially compare. But what did social comparisons used to look like? Well, we used to go to work, go to the kitchen. Five of you would stand around and someone would pull out a picture from their wallet and say, hey, this is my daughter, or this is my dog, or check out how old she is. It's amazing how time flies. And then a couple of people would go, oh, and that was about the extent to which we shared our lives. What do our social comparisons look like now? Now we're keeping up with billions of people. It turns out that social media has made that work kitchenette so 1990. Because now, instead of four people poring over a picture, you have the potential to post a picture online and the whole world will see it. The 1.79 billion users on Facebook who check in every day and check in on average 14 times a day, and that's the average, which means there's some over at 100 or 200 a day, and some over at 2, they could see it. Okay, what kind of reach are we talking? Well, every month, did you know there's 30 billion posts made on Facebook alone? 30 billion posts. That's 30 billion times that you could say, hey, Joy looks great in that picture. Or 30 billion times that you could say, I'm so glad Billy's son got that job in that law firm. That's amazing. Incredible, right? And in actual fact, a German study has shown that following the lives of other people could have a positive cognitive effect because you're reducing uncertainty, you're being in a situation where you're gonna have more social trust and you have civic engagement. So thank you for giving me all that information and trusting me with it. Now I know more and I feel important and all of that. There's even more great things about social media. So you can stay in touch with friends. How many of you have gone, oh, thank God that it told me it's so-and-so's birthday? I'm sure some of you have had that. You don't miss a milestone. People get married, they post it on Facebook, you can congratulate them, and I won't even get into dating because that's a whole different talk. Maybe I'll do that one next year. However, I have heard of people meeting and ending up married because of social media. So there's that. And there's community building. Communities can band together to get through something or stick together through a tragedy. I lost a dog once. And I only found it because of Facebook, because I posted a picture on the local dog page and I kept getting pinged, oh, just saw Lasso Abso headed east on La Cienega. Oh, just saw your dog, just saw your dog. And then finally, after 3 days, someone saw the dog, held the dog until I got there and I was reunited with Charlie. It was amazing. It was really amazing. Thank you. I thought that was the best use of Facebook too. You can also build businesses on Facebook. It's a place where conversations get started. Someone posts something, or Twitter, or whatever it is, and by the 38th comment, someone says, let's turn that into a TV show, and your life is changed forever. What? So you're probably wondering, what's wrong with any of this? This sounds incredible. Well, remember how I told you I have 1,600 friends, but I don't have anyone to drive me to the airport? I want you to hang on to that thought for a second. Why is it that with all these social connections, instead of feeling happy, healthy, supported, and engaged, we end up feeling jealous, tense, isolated, and depressed? So that German study is called Envy on Facebook. And what it's shown is that the scale of information on social media is a grounds for envy, especially when you learn something new about someone you already know that you considered a friend. Like, wait, how did they not tell me that? Or how did I not know that? It startles you. The second thing is that Facebook and social media makes it really easy for you to benchmark yourself with other people. So subconsciously, you'll start to overemphasize your achievements. Whether it's the new car, the new job, or whatever it is, you'll say something about it, make it sound even better, and then post it on Facebook so that you win in that social comparison that you didn't even know you were doing. And that's another thing that makes people feel kind of miserable and yucky when they see it. And the third thing is that social media is something that youth of the day call triggering. I'm sure we've all heard that word. So, social media and exposure to social information triggers envy. It's directly related. It's proven. What does that do? That impacts your well-being. It makes you feel like your life satisfaction's not so great. And it makes you inevitably feel lonely and depressed. So you're on social media, you're watching what everyone does, and all it does is make you feel like everyone else has a better life than you do. But it's really only because you're seeing the sliver of excellence that they've chosen to post on there. And it's important to remember that. There's a little bit more to this, though. It's not just what other people are doing or what they have or what their lives include. You start to feel dissatisfied because, remember, we socially compare. So you'll even look at the number of likes or the number of shares, or birthday messages, and you'll start to say, well, why does Dan have 200 birthday messages and I only have 20? And why is Angie in a relationship and I'm not? That one was personal. So it really starts to bite after a while. And then you realize, I have all these social connections, but I'm feeling empty, and I'm feeling lonely, and I'm feeling dissatisfied. So why is that? Why do we feel like that? These are all supposed to be really great things. I'm a member of the Baha'i Faith. This is a quote by Abdu'l-Bahá, and it reads, "Love manifests its reality in deeds, not only in words. Words alone are without effect." So, that means a like does not manifest love in my life. A million likes does not manifest love in my life. Neither does a share or a tweet or a poke or whatever you're calling it. I'm sure there's 8 new apps that I don't even know about. None of those will manifest love in my life because there's no action attached to it. So maybe that kitchen scenario is not so outdated after all. Maybe we need to go back to a time where we put more emphasis on our face-to-face interactions as opposed to our cyber ones. Because those are the ones that are going to make you feel loved. You see, we have a lot of people watching our lives, but we have very few people fulfilling our lives. We have over 1,000 friends on Facebook, and who do we call to take us to the airport? Uber. And that's fine. Sometimes you're gonna need to do that. But something amazing happens when you call on your friends to do things as opposed to paying someone to do something for you. And something else happens when you are involved in an act of service. I'm gonna give you the ultimate one that you're probably gonna never do, but I moved house recently. And I go to a Monday night virtues class. I was telling someone, I'm moving house, I need to get movers. And he said, don't do that. Five of us dudes will come and move your stuff. This is not like, you know, it's not a one bedroom apartment. It was a 3-bedroom townhouse with 8 bookcases, tons of stuff, 4 industrial sewing machines, real heavy stuff. And I was like, I cannot do that. And then I talked to a few people in the class and they were like, yeah, we'll help you, we'll help you. And I thought, okay, well, I'll make sure that we have kebab for dinner afterwards or something. And anyway, so these guys came, that's us, on the back of the moving truck. We spent 6 hours moving everything in my house. Moving can be really stressful. Moving from the place where I was also moving from a lot of old memories, going to some new ones. And that could have been also depressing and isolating. But instead, these guys made me laugh all day. We were friends, so we became even better friends. And then they started joking about the headboard on my bed in my room and why was there a mark on the wall and all this kind of stuff. We were laughing all day long. We became great friends. I know these poor guys had to move my whole house, but you better believe if any of them calls me, I will drop everything I'm doing and make sure that they're okay. And that's what comes out of action. That's what comes out of deeds. And that's what doesn't come from Facebook. So there was a Harvard study that talked about who makes the happiest person in their 80s. What does it take to be really happy when you're 80 years old? And what they found was the people who are happiest in their 80s are the ones who have friends to share their lives with, or the pains of life with at that point. And they found that of the people who had good friends in their 80s, when they talked about my whole body's in pain, I can't move, or whatever it was, they still had a joy in their life because they had someone to share that with. As opposed to the people who didn't have that, who maybe put all their eggs in the work basket and didn't have any friends, they were the most miserable in their 80s. So it's not about money, it's not about fame, and it's not about how many friends you have on social media. It's about how many friends you pick up the phone and call and spend the time to go and see. Don't think that if you're on Facebook, you found the secret way to make lots of friends without spending time, and I don't have to go and see anybody because I can just like something and get away with this. You will be doing yourself a huge disservice, and you won't even notice it until something happens in your life and you look around you and nobody is there. And for the workaholics in the room, be careful, because money's great, but it's no fun when you look around the room in your mansion and there's no one standing in it with you. So, for those of you who like social media, I like social media. We just talked about all the positives. I have a challenge for you. For every 3 things that you post, pick up the phone and call someone you haven't talked to in a while and go and see them. For every 3 things you like, text someone and see how they are. And when you're making these calls and you're sending these texts, make sure that you drop whatever it is you're doing and you're present and you're engaged and you're there for that person. I bet you that visit with that friend will be better than any session on Facebook you've ever had in your entire life. Yes. So true. When my friends come visit me, it's incredible. I've come a long way from having no friends, by the way. All those guys came and moved my house. It took 2 years of therapy, but I got there. So, I hope you guys enjoyed this presentation. I hope that it makes you pick up the phone and call someone and go see them and do something you haven't done in a while. Maybe go to the museum, go to a park, be social, do something you did when you were a kid, lay in the ground and look at the sky. Because I want a world where my kid and all of his friends are equipped to make real friends and live happy lives until they're 80, and I'm sure you all do too. Thank you very much.